Well, I want to talk to you about an amazing Christmas gift. How many of you ever gotten a Christmas gift that you said, wow, that's amazing? Yeah? Okay, good. How many of you ever gotten Christmas gifts that you're like, oh, I've got to re-gift that to somebody? Okay, we're going to talk about both of those this morning in the topic of redemption. The Christmas gift that Jesus Christ brought to us was the gift of salvation or the gift of redemption. And I want you to remember back where we started our White Christmas series. We started this idea back in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, where God is going through the sins of Israel. He tells them their sins are so heavy that they're even weighted down. He says, look, I'm so tired of you. You're lifting your hands. I'm so tired of your worthless assemblies because all y'all are about is sin. But I've got a fix. Your sin is so bad that it's like scarlet. It's deep inside you. It's a permanent stain, but I'm going to wash it white as snow. I'm going to bring you back to that white Christmas, that white, perfect, pure condition. And I'm going to do that by sending my Messiah, sending my Son to give His life for you. And we saw last week that God is with us. He sent Jesus to be with us in everything, through everything. And we saw practically what it meant that God was with us. It's not just some theoretical concept that, oh yeah, the Word became flesh, which is awesome in itself. But God is with us in our best day. And we saw an example from Scripture last week where God is with us in our worst day. Remember? He was with the woman caught in adultery. In fact, He was the only one left standing with her, but He stood by her. That's what Jesus will do. So we know the promise of God. We know who it is that's going to bring this promise. Today, we're going to learn about what He does, what it is that He does to bring redemption to people, to bring this act of cleaning us from those scarlet sins to make us white as snow. And that is what redemption is. So first of all, we got to ask the question, what is redemption? Redemption is, these are dictionary definitions, but they're right, an act of redeeming or atoning for a fault or mistake. Atoning means paying for. Another definition says the action of saving from sin, error, or evil. So I want you to think about that. You know, we used to do redeem S&H green stamps. Anybody remember those? You would save up those green stamps and you would go and you would get something that you didn't pay for, at least directly. You got those green stamps by buying things, by collecting things, all kinds of things. So we would go and we would get something for free, kind of as we saw it, right? We would redeem those. We would exchange them. But in the scriptural sense, there's a little bit more to it than that. And I don't want you to think about redemption like an S&H green stamp. I want you to think about redemption more in the idea of atoning for this fault or mistake. And what is that fault or mistake? It's sin. So Jesus came to redeem us, to atone, to pay for, to cover our sin. That second definition, it says the action of saving from sin, error, or evil. So we're going to turn to three verses this morning. You don't have to stand, but turn to John 3:16. Everybody knows John 3:16. We're going to look at verse 17, more importantly. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved," that the world through Him might be redeemed. That is the reason that Jesus came. It couldn't have been anyone else, as we saw last week, than Jesus Christ, the full God-man, who could make this redemptive sacrifice. But He came to make a sacrifice for us. And I want you to understand something. there's one way. You know, again, look at verse 17, that the world through him might be saved. People will say, you know, I don't need to be saved, or I don't want to be saved, or there's other ways. Look at verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned. Watch this next part. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Understand that Jesus Christ came to redeem mankind from sin. The Bible tells us that if we say we do not sin, we are a liar. We don't know ourselves. Those people that say, I don't need a Savior, are wrong, because there is only one way to be redeemed, and that is through Jesus Christ, as God has just said. So we need to understand that Jesus came to redeem us. He came to save and redeem the world. That's point number one. God sent His Son to save and redeem the world. So understand, these two things go together, salvation and redemption. And we need to be saved. We need to understand in this Christmas season that we need salvation. We need redemption. We need this gift. So again, what I want to do today is I want to take this down to a very practical level. And I want to ask you something before we go there. Has anybody in here ever been through a long, really long, dark night? Physically. Maybe it was storming. Maybe you were in your shelter with no power, no nothing. It was dark. How did you feel? Did you feel oppressed? Worried? I want you to think about that experience of going through the dark night, because that's what sin is in our lives. Sin is a condition that makes us live in darkness. And it can do all kinds of things. You're sitting there, you think you're the only one. There could be people 15 feet from you, but you feel all alone. Darkness is weighty, you know? You can almost feel it sometimes, particularly if it's cold and dark. It feels like it's closing in on you. Anybody had that experience? We never say that about being out in the sunlight, do we? Ooh, I was oppressed by the sunlight. We don't say that. We always talk about the impact that the darkness has on us. There's fear in darkness. Shouldn't be, but there is. There's nothing there in the darkness that wasn't there in the night, in the daylight, right? But we act differently in darkness. It impacts us. For those people, you guys have been to Alaska, you know, in those parts where it's dark for 6 months, you got to have lights. You got to have some light, artificial light, or you will get depressed. That even happens here when the hours go down to only 8 hours of sunlight, right? So we need to think about the impact of darkness. And I'm emphasizing this so that you get a real practical picture of what Jesus is going to do for you, or has done for you, through redemption. So I want you to picture that darkest, darkest night you've ever been in. Remember how it makes you feel. Everybody got it in their heads? Now I want you to open your eyes, and I want you to walk out into the bright sunshine. Walk out into the light. The darkness is gone. All the stuff that was bothering you about the darkness itself is gone. That's the change. And you think, well, that's kind of silly, but it is that basic change that God brings about when He saves us, when He redeems us. So the second point this morning I want to make is that this redemption delivers us from the power of darkness. But it doesn't just do that. It conveys us into the kingdom of heaven. So redemption not only deals with the problem that we have, but it gives us a destination. It gives us a glorified destination. It delivers us from the power of darkness. It is what takes you out of that long dark night and sets you outside on the beach in Florida with the sun blazing at 100 degrees. And you know what you do? You sit there and you go, yes, give it to me, right? Because we want to be out of the darkness. The Bible talks constantly about the difference between lightness and darkness, light and dark. And I really think this is important for us to learn. The verse I gave you up here, Colossians 1, verse 11 to 14. Let's all turn over there. Colossians 1, 11 to 14. Paul prays that the believers would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, watch this next part, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So understand this. It doesn't just solve your problem for a short period of time. It doesn't just make you feel better because it deals with the sin. It gives you an eternal destination, redemption does. It takes you out of the lost condition, living in the darkness, and it conveys you into the kingdom of heaven. You know, if you were here for VBS, we know that there are two kinds of people in the world, and only two, right? We don't do colors, we don't do races, we don't care about any of that. There's lost and there's saved. The lost are referred to as children of the dark. The saved are referred to as children of the light. That's the way God sees it. Are you a child of mine? Are you a child of the light? Yes or no? If the answer is no, you're a child of darkness. You're in the dark. These dark forces can still impact you. But what Paul is writing in his writing today, he says, look, you are freed. If you have experienced redemption, if you have been redeemed, you have been freed from the dominion of darkness. You have been freed from the impact of sin. You have been freed from this horrible, weighty sin that you're carrying around. And you have been conveyed into a different kingdom, into the kingdom of heaven. He wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, he says, for once you were darkness. He's talking to us believers. We were all dark at one time, right? But now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord. So when God takes you through the process of redemption, He brings you out of that darkness. He puts you on the path of light. He says, I want you to live like that. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, look, you are children of the light, children of the day. You are not any longer of the night or of the darkness. So understand the change, the fundamental change that has happened to you when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. When you said, okay, I'm going to rely upon Jesus for redemption. He's my only hope. That feeling you had in your darkest, darkest night is lifted. Well, what if I don't feel like that? It's still been lifted. Trust God and He will lift it. He will. Some of us want to hang on to that feeling because we got so used to carrying around the baggage of sin. We got so used to carrying around the baggage of darkness. We got so used to dealing with it, we don't know how to act without it. Right? We put things down and we say, God, I'm going to give this to you, and we turn right around and pick them back up. Don't do that. Leave it with God. He's made you a different person. We're going to talk about that next week. You are a new creation. But today, the point is, He has made such a fundamental change, there's no longer darkness. It's all light. And that's the best example I can give you from Scripture about this change in redemption. We can look at how it manifests itself. You know, Peter talked about, well, you know, all the friends I used to hang around with, they don't want to hang around with me anymore because I don't want to do those same bad things. That's one manifestation. We can look at our own lives and say, you know, I used to be like this, but now when God redeemed me, my mind is different, my world is different, my loves are different. But it's the difference between black and white. It's the difference between darkness and light, and we don't mix. What is the purpose of light? The purpose of light in the world is to destroy darkness, to illuminate what's in the dark so that the truth can be seen. And you think about what's coming in our heavenly home. Is there any sun or moon necessary in heaven, in the ultimate heaven? No. Revelation tells us that we don't need those things because Jesus Christ will shine as all the light we need. He's all the light we need right now. Which brings us to our third point. Real simple point this morning. The only way to redemption is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we talked in our high school class this morning about Passover. And I want you to understand what Passover was. You know, Moses had gone to Pharaoh, let my people go, let my people go. 9 times he'd said, let my people go, and every time Pharaoh said no. So Moses says, well, there's one more plague coming. There's one more thing that's going to happen. I really wish you'd let my people go. Pharaoh said no. So Moses told him, all right, angel of death is going to come through and take every firstborn. Then he goes back to the Hebrews and he says, look, the angel of death is going to pass through. But there's a way that you can be saved. There's a way that you can be redeemed from what's getting ready to happen. There's a way that you can be safe through this process. And that's if you go and you take this sacrificial goat or lamb, you kill it. You take the blood and you put the blood on the lintel, the top of the door, and on both sides of the frame. When you do that and the angel of death passes through, he will pass over you. And anyone in that house, anyone that is protected by that blood, will be saved. We come to understand years later through the prophet Isaiah that that Passover lamb was in fact Jesus Christ. Paul tells us that Christ was sacrificed as the Passover lamb. So what is it that brings redemption, salvation, safety? It is His blood. When God looks at us in judgment, I'm ready to judge you. Oh, whoops, He's got my Son's blood. I'm going to pass over Him. You guys get the connection? This has always been God's plan. He explained to the Jewish people early on, I'm going to give you this archetype, this structure for what Passover really is, but you're going to see it ultimately in the form of my Son, Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that chapter, Isaiah 53, tonight. So come back for that. But that chapter tells us that He was the sacrificial lamb. It wasn't an animal anymore. And Jesus died once for our sins. You know, the Jews had to make these sacrificial offerings at Passover and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, once a year. Because it wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough to satisfy, to redeem them from their sins forever. That was only good enough to redeem them from their sins for a little while. But the writer of Hebrews tells us that Christ did this once for all. So look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. This just emphasizes that we have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, to the praise and glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So it is the blood of Jesus Christ that redeems us. It's nothing else. Without His blood, we would not be redeemed. We would not be saved. You know, some people say, well, I wish Jesus Christ hadn't had to die. I guess we have that thought too, but without His death, we have no way to God. So we should be joyful today. This is about joy. I want you to think about those gifts. When you have a gift that's amazing, it makes you joyful. You're excited. That's what redemption should be. But as we're going to see next week, it's also a gift you want to re-gift. Because everyone, Jesus came for whosoever, right? Whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So we want to re-gift this gift of redemption. We're going to talk about that. But today it's about the joy that you should feel that you should experience because you are redeemed. No more is there condemnation. Romans tells us, there is now no condemnation among us. Nobody can condemn us. We know that Satan, the accuser, one of his names, is up there. Hey, do you know what Parks did this morning? That's what he's doing. And you know what God says? It's covered. It's covered. Yeah. And I just hope you understand the value of that gift. When we sin, we have the ability to go to Jesus Christ and say, forgive me, I sinned, I'm sorry. Restore me to fellowship. And you know what the Bible promises? He will do that because He is faithful and just. We don't need to be condemned. We don't need to feel under this weight and burden of sin. That is the gift of taking us from darkness to light. We are out in the sun. We should be yelling for joy because of the salvation that He has brought. We should be just obnoxious Christians, in a nice way, of course, obnoxiously nice. You know, people say, oh, you're a Jesus freak. Yes, I am. Good. Let's do that. But we need to really appreciate this season. When you look at the lights around you, when you look at all the things that are going on, you need to appreciate what Jesus really did. What He practically changed your life. Every single thing as a child of God that you now feel should be influenced by this redemption. On the backside, those people who have never experienced redemption, they are under a burden of guilt. They may deny it, but they are under the burden of guilt. We know that they have a date with eternity and a date with hell if they do not accept Jesus Christ. God sent Him into the world to save and redeem the world. Because we're already judged, folks. We already are sinners if we do not accept Jesus Christ. We can't get rid of that sin ourselves, but Jesus can. His blood was enough because He was God with us. His blood was enough to redeem us and save us from our sins. And that has been the entire plan from before day one. Before the foundation of the world, that was God's plan to redeem mankind. So your Christmas gift under the tree is redemption. Be thankful for that gift. Understand what He does. If you have never given yourself to Jesus Christ, if you've never told Him, I want you to be my Lord and Savior, you do not have redemption. You're under the burden of darkness. You're under the burden of sin. You're under the burden of guilt. And He gives you this message. He gave you this message. He gives you these verses to say, look to my Son. That's all you have to do. So if you've not made that commitment today, make that commitment. If you're a child of God already, let's remember the gift we have. Let's not walk around like this all the time. Let's have a smile. You know, we don't have to be happy all the time, but we need to be joyful, particularly in this season because of the hope that He brought, because of the peace He gives, the love that He gives, and this assurance that we are redeemed, atoned for, paid in full, as He said on the cross. It is finished. Paid in full. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank You so much for Jesus. We thank You for His death. We thank You that You sent Him to be born on this planet as a child, to live a rough life, to live a hard life, and to go willingly to that cross to be nailed between two thieves in fulfillment of Your Scripture. Father, we thank You for redemption. We thank You for atonement. We thank You that You've given us one way that's so clear. We just have to believe. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today who has not accepted Your Son, who has not been redeemed, Father, that they make that change today. They move from darkness to light. Come into the sunshine. Father, for those of us that are Christians, I just pray that we are so joyful. We should be so joyful for what You've done in our lives, for the change that You've made in us. Father, I pray that we want to share that change with others, that we want to re-gift the gift of redemption. Father, let us pass it on. Let us share with others what You have done, how You've changed us, how You've acted in our lives. Father, we do all of this. We ask it all in Your Son's name. Amen.